Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Friday, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best in beer selection without question. Meanwhile, they have snacks, roasted peanuts fresh and hot every day, soft drinks, and, of course, the pickle bar, which is second to none. Indeed. So, there you go. Here is our, for today, as always on a Friday, it's great to have you with us. Great to have you with us. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm okay. I read something earlier today, though, that kind of made me a little nervous. I was reading about some electronics being discussed at the college football level and what part of technology they're going to allow in the coming seasons. And then, of course, I always think about how the trickle-down then comes to the National Federation of State High School Associations and what they're going to allow. And I have a little bit of a concern. At the college level, I'm not really as concerned about, you know, having the iPads or, as the NFL has, the Surface tablets on the field. Now, that's fine. I don't think that's any there's a competitive advantage there from school to school with that particular piece of technology, as long as it's regulated properly. But I am a little concerned when it does trickle down to the high school side of things and bringing iPads on the sidelines and being able to use some of the technology that is starting to filter down. I don't know if I want high school's sports programs and football programs, especially in this example, to have an option or have the option, I should say, of putting a microphone and helmet earpiece in a quarterback's helmet or in a defensive lineman's helmet. I'm just not sure if I want to get to that level at the high school. I think there are more things that high school sports need to spend their money on before technology filters down to that level.
Such as?
The equipment. Just the safety equipment. The safety equipment alone and making sure that there's a trainer on the sidelines. And the technology thing is a fun idea, and I think it's nice to have it at the college level. I think you could probably do that at the college level and still have an even playing field. I think when you look at the high school level, though, I don't know that the financial situation is there to be able to buy a bunch of iPads so that you have them on the sidelines of each high school football team, or that you have the money to put in a headphone system between your quarterback and your defensive line or your linebacker and the coaching staff.
Well, college doesn't have that.
Oh, I know that, but they're considering it. That's what I'm saying. I see a filter down coming, though.
Well, excuse me. They should do it. College should.
I don't have any problem with it there.
College should absolutely do it.
I don't have a problem with it.
I think it's ridiculous that you're like, hey, who holding up cards and things like that when you can just say into their helmet, okay, this is what we want to do.
No, I don't have a problem with it at the college level. Where I'm saying I'm concerned is I know the trickle-down happens, and soon it will trickle down to the high school level, and I think there's enough strapped high schools now trying to be able to afford sports programs than to put even more money into
it. Can't do it.
But then you end up with a playing field like you have right now. The schools that have money will succeed, and the ones that don't won't. And that's not what high school sports is about.
And the teams that have talent, regardless, will succeed, and the teams that don't have talent, regardless of technology, will not.
You can't draft talent. You can't recruit talent at high school. It only has to be born into your system or move into your system.
Right. So the technology part, who cares?
I'm telling you.
I understand,
but I don't agree. I think there's a problem if you're starting to trickle that down into the high school level. There's more important things to worry about, and proper safety equipment for most of these schools. They're using equipment that have been around for quite a few years. I would rather see that money spent there. And to those people in the school districts that already want to see high school sports go away because they don't feel it's part of the educational process, if it does happen, I ask you then, when the fundraisers come by, to buy something from those student athletes.
Absolutely. I mean, Kevin, and it's just because of a sugar surge, has always supported bake sales. But
just for my taste. Oh, just it? My taste for what's that it? Sort of thing.
What's it for? Oh, okay. You got cupcakes? Great.
It's pizzas. Pizzas are the weakness.
Look, whatever you can do, you can do. But it comes down to, with the competitive advantage and so forth. Look, you want to do well, and everyone loves high school sports and so forth. I take high school sports. Do I take high school sports seriously? Not as seriously as the parents who have their children involved. How about that?
I don't think that's an unfair statement at all. I don't think you should be criticized for that either.
I mean, I take it seriously in that I love when a high school sports team represents a town. Now, we have less of that now because of regional schools, because the population here has changed. I mean, when I was in high school, we had a town that was large enough to support two high schools. That's how deep the population. We may have only been a town of 46,000, but it was also at a time when a lot of people had moved into the area, and this had become a suburb that grew together, and thus the number of young people my age allowed them to support two high schools in town. Now, you may have three or four towns combining into one regional high school. But I love when a high school sports-wise represents a town. That's what I love about a high school Friday night, where the town or the area comes together and has fun and goes to a high school football game.
Becomes an event.
It's fun. It's a lot. It's great. It's great competition. The young people work really hard. The coaches work really hard, and there's meaning for people being there. And it's not just an event, but I always find it to be. I've always enjoyed every high school football game I've ever gone to. I've always enjoyed it, just being there and being a part of what was going on. You get all wrapped up and get very emotional about how the state championship is won or lost. And I understand that because you broadcast it. I don't. I think it's interesting to see how it happens. But, for example, when I've gone to the state championship here and watched it and was in the George Center, you know what I watched? This is basketball-wise. You know what I watched?
You watched a high school basketball game.
No, I was looking at who the prospects were.
Oh, you were watching it for a different reason. I understand.
In other words, when DeJuan Blair would come in, I'd take a look at DeJuan Blair. He ended up going to Pitt and then to the San Antonio Spurs. When Terrell Pryor came in, I watched him play. My son Mike and I went over and watched it. And so I was looking at the prospects. When Chester has come in here, it always gave me a pretty good read on guys that I thought were going to be going to college. That's what I watched for when I came in. It didn't really matter to me who won the games.
Well, I think my biggest concern, though, Steve, is we have a lot of high schools considering or even dropping sports.
Your biggest concern is getting playoff money. Come on.
Well, I mean, that would be nice, too. But no, but the biggest concern is you have a lot of high schools that are dropping sports now or pay-to-play sports. And if you create more of a technological side to the sport in the high school level, it's going to create more expense. And I think you'll have more schools decide not to do it.
Kevin, I think that's optional. I think that just needs to be an optional thing. I think they need to put in the rules. If you can do it, you can do it. If not, don't. And because I don't think it gives you a competitive advantage one way or the other. I think it still comes down to blocking, tackling, talent that you have, hitting the lottery right in terms of the age group coming up. Turns out to have a bunch of guys that
that's
really
the truth of the lottery. That's a great way to put it.
You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, now for the Allentown Central Catholics and things like that, where they can recruit players. Okay, I get the advantage. In the charter schools, I get the advantage. I understand that. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, you have what, Shikellamy and Milton the other night? Does it sound right?
Yeah, that's what. And Shikellamy South Williamsport tonight, as a matter of fact.
Right, and it's just a question of hitting the lottery right as to who you have, who the age group happens to be. I mean, in terms of the talent level, those coming up and playing the game and so forth, high school should be fun. I mean, it's serious, but it should be fun, too. The vast majority of the players that you announce are not going any... This is it. Some move up. Some will go to a PSAC school. Some will go higher than that. I mean, it should be fun. It should be an enjoyable thing.
Well, and this is why I don't want the technology there. I think
it should be optional. If you got it, you got it. You don't have it, you don't have it. It still comes down to other things. You can't look at the other guy and go, "Oh my goodness, they've got iPads." An iPad can't shoot.
Well, that's true.
It can't block. It can't tackle. Okay, it can't do any of those things. And an iPad can help you teach, but there are other ways of teaching. A whiteboard teaches.
All right, let's take the iPad out of it. Let's talk about the microphone to helmet. That's one that I think does create a competitive advantage.
No,
instead of having 11 guys watching boards and making sure they're reading the boards correctly or in the right order or watching the right signal, you got one guy bringing in the play from the coach. There's no translation. You don't have to worry about that. The chances for the play getting messed up are a lot smaller. Because you don't have the coach to the wide receiver coming in to the quarterback to the rest of the team.
You do know, like everything else, you're overthinking.
Somebody's got to think of this stuff. And I really don't need in a college player, by the way, a sensor in his shoulder pads. Please explain to me why that's going to make TV better.
A what?
One of the discussions is putting sensors in the padding of the players for media purposes, is what they're calling it. What in the world would that be? To track movement.
You know what, though? TV has too many liberties, and if I were them, I would cut back on locker room access before games, half times, and things like that.
I agree there.
There's certain areas that should be sacrosanct and TV should be out.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very quickly, I was reading a New York Times article today written by Jerry Longman about the Corman McCord case against the NCAA. And a guy named Kip Johnson from Washington State was the attorney, Everett Johnson Jr. I guess his name is Kip Johnson. And he said that compromise is not surrender. Kip, The score was 50-0 in the fourth quarter. Every motion you had before the judge was being tossed and flushed. You weren't doing well. You can be quoted all you want. It wasn't your day. Okay.
If it were tennis, it would be game, set, match.
I mean, if tennis, the thing was almost at love. He said, no, we got what we wanted, the $60 million paid. Like, as I pointed out to many times, if they're concerned at the NCAA deeply about cash contributions to help out charities, they can make them too, you know. Don't know what's stopping them. But I read that article. I looked at it. I thought, hey, you can spend it all you want because obviously your personal career is on the line here. But this is not one you put on your resume and go to clients and say, hey, look what I did. All right. at least in my opinion. I'm no lawyer. I don't know. Bob Buhner could tell me if I'm right or wrong on that. This was not a resume builder. All right. Based on what I read and saw. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks. Pickle Bar is second to none. They roast their peanuts fresh hot every day. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kevin, of course, driving another great vehicle from our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
This week has some great features, including a little more clearance in the newer model Sonata in the 2015. So if you were a little uncomfortable with the older models, that's one of the things they changed into. It was making it a little bit higher up. And it's also made the ride amazing. This is probably one of the smoothest rides of any vehicle I've driven. It is really, really nice. You have to drive it for yourself to find out. And, of course, has all the great features that include automatic trunk release, that includes the heated seats as well as the heated steering wheel, air-conditioned seats as well, and the HD radio, rear backup camera, the big 9-inch screen. All that is available on the Limited as well as the 2015 Hyundai Sonata with America's best warranty at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Routes on 4th Street in Sunbury is where you'll find the Hyundai dealership. Right next door, Ford. And then on 11 and 15, you'll find Kia.
Exactly. So check that out. Kevin had turned the car in today. And specifically go in and say, look, I'd like to test drive the one Kevin Herr's been driving.
And then if I left anything in there, just let me know. I think I cleaned it out already.
My understanding is the lost and found at Sunbury Motors. Just dealing with you.
Just deals with stuff I've left in vehicles.
It is now a storage closet. All right. Well, let's bring in next half hour Tony DeFazio's Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll talk about the Steelers and the possible suspension of your running back. But first, let's bring in Walt Moody, Setter Daily Times. Walt, welcome back. It is great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
All right, let's talk football first of all. It's, you and I both know what it was like in years gone by when National Letter of Intent Day came and went. Now the way it's been handled the last couple of years, just the dynamics of how that is now here at Penn State compared to how we were used to seeing it.
We were used to trying just to find out who was there, and we were lucky to find out who was it all was, because it was very, as you know, very understated. Now it's certainly a production. I'm sure the kids that do sign letter of intent feel very special, and I'm sure it at least helps the fans maybe grow a lot more familiar with these people. Funny, we're getting to talk a lot of them about a lot and talk them up a lot, and then they'll get on campus and likely most of them will redshirt and we won't be able to talk to them for 2 years after they get here.
What's it like? We know what it's like for websites because obviously we've had many reporters on that work for websites, whether it's 24/7, Scout, Rivals. What's it like for the Center Daily Times? Do you get inundated with comments or requests dealing with recruiting?
It's certainly well read, even on our website, with even all of those other things. It's really, we feel with all the other things that we've got going on and the limitations that we have staff wise, we kind of feel like we're chasing our tail a lot, trying to keep up with all of it. And thanks to Twitter now, even if you think you've got a pretty good idea what's going on, all you got to do is have a recruit send out a tweet, and then there it goes, and then there's an extra story for the next day for you.
No question. With the former team, with the team that we just saw this past season, Mike Hall's been invited to the combine, which will keep him a little further removed from that scope on his knee, which will help him. Just your thoughts on Mike Hall and what he could do potentially at the next level.
Oh, I think obviously he's extremely talented, and he's as talented as any of the other linebackers that have gone up in years past. I was kind of surprised it's taken so long to find out, or whether the invite for the invite to come, because obviously everybody around here knows that he was one of the best linebackers in the country this past year. So I think the potential is very high for him, just like it was when Sean Lee when he left here.
Yeah, no question. And Lee may have better measurables in terms of size than Mike Hall does, but Mike Hall's strength and straight line speed cover ability also right there. I think they'll find that out. It reminds me a lot of Chris Borland of the 49ers. He would be the guy I would think of right away that has a similar skill set to Mike.
Yeah, and obviously one of the positions that's obviously continues to do well from Penn State in the NFL as linebacker. It's amazing how there's that continuing chain of NFL starters that are coming from here.
I know you have to cover a lot of different things, but in the college football coverage, when you look at the Big Ten, it's now dissected to the point where it's divisions. Does the CDT want to lock in more on the division because you know you're going to see those teams every year here that Penn State will be facing, or do you like to look at the big picture of Big Ten and covering it?
Well, I think the fans are going to pay attention more to the teams that Penn State plays. So certainly we give more coverage or at least try to keep an eye on those teams a little bit more. We try to keep up with the rest of the Big Ten, but it's more. And honestly, the division now is such where you really think the major power in the Big Ten is in that division. So it's in a division that everybody's keeping an eye on, yeah, because of with Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Penn State. They're four teams that are among the elite in the conference. Are going to, we at least think Penn State is going to be here in the near future.
Can you put enough football coverage in the paper?
Absolutely not. And that manifests. Really, the two things that we can't put enough in the paper are football coverage and wrestling coverage.
Right. Yeah, and of course this weekend, of course, Penn State and Iowa. But that, when you talk wrestling coverage, I know what you mean. You also mean you can't put enough high school wrestling coverage in there.
Absolutely. It's the time of year where we got a little bit going on between the four major Penn State sports that we cover, plus high school wrestling and basketball playoffs are around the corner. The high school individuals are coming up here shortly on the way to Hershey in the States. So, yeah, it's a pretty busy time of year for us.
Yeah, no question about that. And how difficult is it to divvy up considering the resources you have?
It's very tough. Luckily, I got some good guys that can cover anything and everything, and there's a good possibility that we'll be doing that before it's all over and done. And then it's great to have a network of stringers from around the area. Ron Bracken is, I'm lucky that he's still around and still has a passion for for doing it for us, and we get some help with wrestling and other things from other areas. But I'm very lucky to have those folks because we absolutely need them.
Yeah, Ron's always been a slice of gold, no question about that, whether he's full-time or helping out. The next part of this, Lady Lion basketball, I have an old saying that I heard from somebody else a long time ago that I believe that when he told me this. Youth is a disease, but it can be cured. Is that Lady Lion basketball right now?
It kind of. I think the real problem with this year's team is that a couple of recruiting classes came up a little thin. If you look at it, there's one senior, one junior, and if Lindsey Spann hadn't gotten hurt this year, there really would have been only one transfer coming in from that class. They added a transfer later on. So when you come up short in a couple of recruiting classes, the Big Ten is not a league that shows you very much mercy. The good news for Penn State is that the next year's recruiting class is rated pretty much a top 10 recruiting class, so we'll see there. But you're right, and even the sophomore class this year, it's taken them quite a while to get used to roles that maybe folks were counting on them to pick up immediately, and it's taken a while. And you're right, youth is, you have to gain that experience. You don't have too many Maggie Lucases or Alex Bentleys or Kelly Mazzanis walking on campus and can jump right in the starting lineup and play right away.
Anytime there's expansion in a conference, immediately it goes to what kind of football program do they have, and the second question is what kind of men's basketball program do they have. So I think everyone has a pretty good handle what Maryland and Rutgers in those two areas, what they have brought to the table. In women's basketball, what did Maryland and Rutgers bring to the Big Ten?
They brought it affected women's basketball maybe more than any sport in the conference, because they bring two powerhouse teams, teams that have gone to the Final Four, teams that have, like in Maryland in 2006, has won a national title and went to the Final Four last year. Immediately those are two just really tough teams. They're both top 25 teams this year. Maryland is 11-0 in the conference now. I think obviously that the level of competition has gone up substantially with those two teams in the conference now.
Big picture question. If I were to take you back 10, 15 years, I'll give you my opinion first, and then I'll go to somebody who knows a lot more about it than I do. That's you. I would have thought 10, 15 years ago, the way the sport was being promoted, because it was getting more on ESPN and so forth, that in 2015 we would see more women's games on TV, and maybe you'd see more game 1,000 in the stands. I mean, you know, among big schools across the country. Why is it that there seems to be less, and let's take Penn State out of it for the moment in terms of attendance, but why does attendance seem to have stagnated in the sport?
I it's a good question, because the brand of basketball that's being played is as good, if not better, than it ever was. I guess it takes some people time to appreciate it. It also takes some people a bit of chance. That, you know, it's men's basketball and that's it. The same team seem to be winning all the time. REM has kind of ruined that for a lot of folks over the years.
Can I follow up on that for a second? Well, is UConn good or bad for the sport?
That's a very good question. I think folks up in stores think it's great.
Yes, they do.
In fact, they, from what I understand, from many years ago, they used to measure the length of stories on the men's team and the women's, Hartford Current, with phone calls.
Right.
But I think it's kind of bad for the sport, because they are so good. You're looking at scores where they're beating, like Geno's 900th win the other day. They won by 60 points.
Right.
I don't know how that's good for the sport. when it gets down to the end, it'll be interesting. There, folks have gotten a little closer, but it's usually, like we've said, the same four or five teams that are there every year. So everybody else is playing catch up in the sport.
Yeah, when all you just talked about. They're good for the sport because at least if they get to the Final Four, everybody's, oh, yeah, okay. And it, like, there's a reason to watch. I don't know, part of the reason is to see how good they are, and part of it for people looking to see if they'll lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Gino is certainly, Penn State was in on a couple of kids that are on the Connecticut roster. We're down to, the last, their final selections, and UConn was among, and Penn State was among them. Brianna Stewart and Kia Nurse, two players on their roster, they both heavily considered Penn State and ended up going to UConn. And it's tough when you're for someone like Coquise, who's in on a player and recruiting, when you've got a UConn out there, because all Gino has to do is flash his rings in front of somebody. Yeah. And show them the record over the last few years. It's really, I would imagine, it's just super hard to recruit against somebody like that.
Tim Frazier is going to, has signed a 10-day contract with the Sixers, and the door appears today in his first game with them wide open that he'll start tonight against the Celtics. For Penn State just to get a guy into the NBA, everybody's talking about the growth of a program and trying to do whatever you can. Just the pure exposure of that, what can that mean?
I'm sure that Coach Chambers will try to use it to his advantage on the recruiting trail, and that's huge because, that's something that we've heard of for years and have seen for years, that Penn State has really struggled getting the kind of players in here that it needs to be competitive in the Big Ten every year. So it's big. I'm trying to remember whether it's been Calvin Booth or John Amici since the last, yeah, there were the last two that I can remember were in the NBA.
And Crispin was in as well with the
Crispin, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but that's it. And Chris Babb does not count, really, because he played 2 years here and he really is an Iowa State guy when he played with the Celtics, mm-hmm, last year. So I don't consider him counting in the group, so Booth would be the last one. So look, when they throw it up there, they'll throw the name Penn State out there tonight when they play. So it's got to help across the board, and it has to help in recruiting, because let's face it, I don't care who you're recruiting, they all think they're on the road to the show.
Absolutely, and Philly's not a bad place for him to be playing, because that's the area where folks want to recruit and certainly an area that Pat Chambers is targeted in recruiting.
Walt, it's always a pleasure. It's great catching up with you. Thanks for coming on the show today. We appreciate it.
No problem, Steve. Anytime.
Walt Moody, sports editor, Center Daily Times. Tony DeFazio next half hour. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. All right, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up in the next half hour. We'll talk about Le'Veon Bell. For those of the studio, Kevin will be pacing back and forth waiting to hear about that status.
It doesn't sound promising by what you said last half hour.
No, it'll be minimal. It'll be minimal, but the NFL, you just got a gut feeling we'll do something. Might be a game. But I thought when he didn't play in the playoffs against Baltimore, I thought their running attack was outstanding, didn't you?
It's great.
Oh, you and Sean Carey both said, watch out for Josh Harris. I kept watching and waiting.
Gotta give the ball to him.
Kevin, there's a reason he didn't get the ball before then.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS, an American female hostage killed.